jump, fly, play with fireworks, only they don't have to sneak around. They don't have the imagination to sneak around. Look, Skinny, I'm with you, Tally said sharply. Doing tricks is great, okay? Breaking the rules is fun. But eventually, you've got to do something besides being a clever little ugly.
Like being a vapid, boring pretty?
No, like being an adult. Did you ever think that when you're pretty, you might not need to play tricks and mess things up? Maybe just being ugly is why uglies always fight and pick on one another, because they aren't happy with who they are. Well, I want to be happy, and looking like a real person is the first step.
I'm not afraid of looking the way I do, Tally.
Maybe not, but you are afraid of growing up.
Shay didn't say anything. Tally floated in silence, looking up at the sky, barely able to see the clouds through her anger. She wanted to be pretty, wanted to see Paris again. It seemed like forever since she'd talked to him, or to anyone else except Shay. She was sick of this whole ugly business, and just wanted it to end.
A minute later, she heard Shay swimming for shore.
Last trick.
It was strange, but Tally couldn't help feeling sad. She knew she'd miss the view from this window. She'd spent the last 4 years looking out at New Pretty Town, wanting nothing more than to cross the river and not come back. That's probably what had tempted her through the window so many times, learning every trick she could to sneak closer to the new pretties, to spy on the life she would eventually have. But now that the operation was only a week away, time seemed to be moving too fast. Sometimes, Tally wished that they could do the operation gradually. Get her squinty eyes fixed first, then her lips, and cross the river in stages. Just so she wouldn't have to look out the window one last time and know she'd never see this view again. Without Shay around, things felt incomplete, and she'd spent even more time here, sitting on her bed and staring at New Pretty Town. Of course, there wasn't much else to do these days. Everyone in the dorm was younger than Tally now, and she'd already taught all of her best tricks to the next class. She'd watched every movie her wall screen knew about 10 times, all the way back to some old black and white ones in an English she could barely understand. There was no one to go to concerts with, and dorm sports were boring to watch now that she didn't know anyone on the teams. All the other uglies looked at her enviously, but no one saw much point in making friends. Probably it was better to get the operation over with all at once. Half the time she wished the doctors could just kidnap her in the middle of the night and do it. She could imagine a lot worse things than waking up pretty one morning. They said at school that they could make the operation work on 15-year-olds now. Waiting until 16 was just a stupid old tradition. But it was a tradition nobody questioned, except the occasional ugly. So Tally had a week to go, alone, waiting. Shay hadn't talked to her since their big fight. Tally had tried to write a ping, but working it all out on screen just made her angry again. And it didn't make much sense to sort it out now. Once they were both pretty, there wouldn't be anything to fight about anymore. And even if Shay still hated her, there was always Paris, and all their old friends, waiting across the river for her with their big eyes and wonderful smiles. Still, Tally spent a lot of time wondering what Shay was going to look like pretty, her skin and bones body all filled out, her already full lips perfected, and the ragged fingernails gone forever. They'd probably make her eyes a more intense shade of green, or maybe one of the newer colors, violet, silver, or gold.
Hey, squint!
Tally jumped at the whisper. She peered into the darkness and saw a form scuttling toward her across the roof tiles. A smile broke onto her face.
Shay!
The silhouette paused for a moment. Tally didn't even bother to whisper. Don't just stand there. Come in, stupid. Shay crawled into the window, laughing, as Tally gathered her into a hug,
warm and joyful and solid. They stepped back, still holding each other's hands. For a moment, Shay's ugly face looked perfect.
It's great to see you.
You too, Tally.
I missed you. I wanted to... I'm so sorry about...
No, Shay interrupted. You were right. You made me think. I was going to write you, but it was all... She sighed. Tally nodded, squeezing Shay's hands.
Yeah, it sucked.
They stood in silence for a moment, and Tally glanced past her friend out the window. Suddenly, the view of New Pretty Town didn't seem so sad. It looked bright and tempting, as if all the hesitation had drained out of her. The open window was exciting again.
Shay?
Yeah?
Let's go somewhere tonight. Do some major trick.
Shay laughed. I was kind of hoping you'd say that. Tally noticed the way Shay was dressed. She was wearing serious trick wear. All black clothes, hair tied back, a knapsack over one shoulder. She grinned.
Already got a plan, I see. Great.
Yeah, Shay said softly. I've got a plan.
She walked over to Tally's bed, unslinging the knapsack from her shoulder. Her footsteps squeaked, and Tally smiled when she saw that Shay was wearing grippy shoes. Tally hadn't been on a hoverboard in days. Flying alone was all the hard work and only half the fun. Shay dumped the contents of the knapsack out onto the bed and pointed. Position finder, fire starter, water purifier. She picked up two shiny wads the size of sandwiches. These pull out into sleeping bags, and they're really warm inside.
Sleeping bags? Water purifier? Tally exclaimed. This must be some kind of awesome multi-day trick. Are we going all the way to the sea or something?
Shay shook her head.
Farther. Cool.
Tally kept a smile on her face. But we've only got 6 days till the operation.
I know what day it is.
Shay opened a waterproof bag and spilled its contents alongside the rest. Food for 2 weeks, dehydrated. You just drop one of these into the purifier and add water.
Any kind of water, she giggled.
The purifier works so well you can even pee in it. Tally sat down on the bed, reading the labels on the food packs.
2 weeks?
2 weeks for two people, Shay said carefully. 4 weeks for one. Tally didn't say anything. Suddenly, she couldn't look at the stuff on the bed, or at Shay. She stared out of the window, at New Pretty Town, where the fireworks were starting. But it won't take 2 weeks, Tally. It's much closer. A plume of red soared up in the middle of town, tendrils of fireworks drifting down like the leaves of a giant willow tree.
What won't take 2 weeks?
Going to where David lives. Tally nodded and closed her eyes. It's not like here, Tally. They don't separate everyone. Uglies from pretties, new and middle and late. And you can leave whenever you want. Go anywhere you want.
Like where?
Anywhere. Ruins, the forest, the sea, and... You never have to get the operation.
You what?
Shay sat next to her, touching Tally's cheek with one finger. Tally opened her eyes.
We don't have to look like everyone else, Tally, and act like everyone else. We've got a choice. We can grow up any way we want.
Tally swallowed. She felt like speech was impossible, but knew she had to say something. She forced words from her dry throat.
Not be pretty? That's crazy, Shay. All the times you talked that way, I thought you were just being stupid.
Paris always said the same stuff.
I was just being stupid. But when you said I was afraid of growing up, you really made me think.
I made you think?
Made me realize how full of crap I was.
Tally, I've got to tell you another secret.
Tally sighed. Okay, I guess it can't get any worse.
My older friends, the ones I used to hang out with before I met you, not all of them wound up pretty.
What do you mean?
Some of them ran away, like I am, like I want us to.
Tally looked into Shay's eyes, searching for some sign that this was all a joke. But the intense look on her face held firm. She was dead serious.
You know someone who actually ran away?
Shay nodded. I was supposed to go too. We had it all planned. About a week before the first of us turned 16. We'd already stolen survival gear and told David that we were coming. It was all set up. That was 4 months ago.
But you didn't?
Some of us did, but I chickened out.
Shay looked out of the window. And I wasn't the only one. A couple of the others stayed and turned pretty instead. I probably would have too, except I met you.
Me? All of a sudden, I wasn't alone anymore. I wasn't afraid to go back to the ruins, to look for David again.
But we never...
Tally blinked. You finally found him, didn't you?
Not until 2 days ago. I've been out every night since we... since our fight. After you said I was afraid to grow up, I realized you were right. I chickened out once, but I didn't have to again.
Shay grasped Tally's hand and waited until their eyes were locked. I want you to come, Tally.
No, Tally said without thinking, then she shook her head.
Wait, how come you never told me any of this before?
I wanted to, except you would have thought I was crazy.
You are crazy.
Maybe, but not that way. That's why I wanted you to meet David, so you'd know that it's all real.
It doesn't seem real. I mean, what is this place you're talking about?
It's just called the Smoke. It's not a city, and nobody's in charge. And nobody's pretty.
Sounds like a nightmare. And how do you get there? Walk?
Shay laughed. Are you kidding? Hoverboards, like always. There are long-distance boards that recharge on solar, and the routes all worked out to follow rivers and stuff. David does it all the time, as far as the ruins. He'll take us to the Smoke.
But how do people live out there, Shay? Like the Rusties? Burning trees for heat and burying their junk everywhere? It's wrong to live in nature, unless you want to live like an animal.
Shay shook her head and sighed.
That's just school talk, Tally. They've still got technology, and they're not like the Rusties, burning trees and stuff. But they don't put up a wall between themselves and nature.
And everyone's ugly.
Which means no one's ugly.
Tally managed to laugh.
Which means no one's pretty, you mean?
They sat in silence. Tally watched the fireworks, feeling 1,000 times worse than she had before Shay had appeared at the window. Finally, Shay said the words Tally had been thinking.
I'm going to lose you, aren't I?
You're the one who's running away.
Shay brought her fists down onto her knees. It's all my fault. I should have told you earlier. If you'd had more time to get used to the idea, maybe...
Shay, I never would have gotten used to the idea. I don't want to be ugly all my life. I want those perfect eyes and lips, and for everyone to look at me and gasp, and for everyone who sees me to think, who's that, and want to get to know me, and listen to what I say.
I'd rather have something to say.
Like what? I shot a wolf today and ate it?
Shay giggled. People don't eat wolves, Tally. Rabbits, I think, and deer.
Oh, gross. Thanks for the image, Shay.
Yeah, I think I'll stick to vegetables and fish. But it's not about camping out, Tally. It's about becoming what I want to become, not what some surgical committee thinks I should.
You're still yourself on the inside, Shay. But when you're pretty, people pay more attention.
Not everyone thinks that way.
Are you sure about that? That you can beat evolution by being smart or interesting? Because if you're wrong, if you don't come back by the time you're 20, the operation won't work as well.
You'll look wrong forever.
I'm not coming back.
Forever. Tally's voice caught, but she forced herself to say it.
And I'm not going.
They said goodbye under the dam.
Shay's long-range hoverboard was thicker and glimmered with the facets of solar cells.
She'd also stashed a heated jacket and hat under the bridge. Tally guessed that winters at the smoke were cold and miserable. She couldn't believe her friend was really going.
You can always come back, if it sucks.
Shay shrugged. None of my friends has.
The words gave Tally a creepy feeling.
She could think of a lot of horrible reasons to explain why no one had come back.
Be careful, Shay.
You too. You're not going to tell anyone about this, right?
Never, Shay.
You swear? No matter what?
Tally raised her scarred palm.
I swear.
Shay smiled. I know, I just had to ask again before I...
She pulled out a piece of paper and handed it to Tally.
What's this? Tally opened it up and saw a scrawl of letters. When did you learn to write by hand?
We all learned while we were planning to leave. It's a good idea if you don't want minders sniffing your diary.
Anyway, that's for you. I'm not supposed to leave any record of where I'm going, so it's in code.
Kind of.
Tally frowned, reading the first line of slanted words. Take the coaster straight past the gap?
Yeah. Get it?
Only you could figure it out, in case someone finds it. You know, if you ever want to follow me.
Tally started to say something, but couldn't. She managed to nod.
Just in case, Shay said.
She jumped onto her board and snapped her fingers, securing her knapsack over both shoulders.
Goodbye, Tally.
Bye, Shay. I wish...
Shay waited, bobbing just a bit in the cool September wind. Tally tried to imagine her growing old, wrinkled, gradually ruined, all without ever having been truly beautiful. Never learning how to dress properly or how to act at a formal dance. Never having anyone look into her eyes and be simply overwhelmed.
I wish I could have seen what you would look like. Pretty, I mean.
Guess you'll just have to live with remembering my face this way, Shay said.
Then she turned, and her hoverboard climbed away toward the river, and Tally's next words were lost on the roar of the water.
Operation. When the day came, Tally waited for the car alone. Tomorrow, when the operation was all over, her parents would be waiting outside the hospital, along with Paris and her other older friends. That was the tradition. But it seemed strange that there was no one to see her off on this end. No one to say goodbye except for a few uglies passing by. They looked so young to her now, especially the just-arrived new class, who gawked at her like she was an old pile of dinosaur bones. She'd always loved being independent, but now Tally felt like the last littlie to be picked up from school, abandoned and alone. September was a crappy month to be born.
You're Tally, right?
She looked up. It was a new ugly, awkwardly exploding into unfamiliar height, tugging at his dorm uniform like it was already too tight.
Yeah.
Aren't you the one who's going to turn today?
That's me, Shorty.
So how come you look so sad?
Tally shrugged. What could this half-littly, half-ugly understand anyway? She thought about what Shay had said about the operation. Yesterday, they'd taken Tally's final measurements, rolling her all the way through an imaging tube. Should she tell this new ugly that sometime this afternoon, her body was going to be opened up, the bones ground down to the right shape, some of them stretched or padded, her nose cartilage and cheekbones stripped out and replaced with programmable plastic, skin sanded off and reseated like a soccer field in spring? That her eyes would be laser cut for a lifetime of perfect vision. Reflective implants inserted under the iris to add sparkling gold flecks to their indifferent brown?
her muscles all trimmed up with a night of electricize and all her baby fat sucked out for good? Teeth replaced with ceramics as strong as a suborbital aircraft wing, as white as the dorm's good china? They said it didn't hurt, except the new skin, which felt like a killer sunburn for a couple of weeks. As the details of the operation buzzed around in her head, she could imagine why Shay had run away. It did seem like a lot to go through just to look a certain way. If only people were smarter, evolved enough to treat everyone the same way even if they looked different, looked ugly. If only Tally had come up with the right argument to make her stay. The imaginary conversations were back, but much worse than they had been after Paris had left. A thousand times she'd fought with Shay in her head, long rambling discussions about beauty, biology, growing up. All those times out in the ruins, Shay had made her point about uglies and pretties, the city and the outside, what was fake and what was real. But Tally had never once realized her friend might actually run away, giving up a life of beauty, glamour, elegance. If only she'd said the right thing. Anything. Sitting here, she felt as if she'd hardly tried. Tally looked the new ugly in the eye. Because it all comes down to this. 2 weeks of killer sunburn is worth a lifetime of being gorgeous. The kid scratched his head. Huh? Something I should have said, and didn't. That's all. The hospital hover car finally came, settling onto the school grounds so lightly that it hardly disturbed the fresh-mown grass. The driver was a middle pretty, radiating confidence and authority. He looked so much like Sol that Tally almost called her father's name. "Tally Youngblood?" he said. Tally had already seen the flash of light that had read her eye print, but she said, "Yes, that's me, anyway." Something about the middle pretty made it hard to be flippant. He was wisdom personified, his manner so serious and formal that Tally found herself wishing she had dressed up. "Are you ready? Not taking much." Her duffel bag was only half full. Everyone knew that new pretties wound up recycling most of the stuff they'd brought over the river anyway. She'd have all new clothes, of course, and all the new pretty toys she wanted. All she'd really kept was Shay's handwritten note, hidden among a bunch of random crap. "Got enough." "Good for you, Tally. That's very mature." "That's me, sir." The door closed, and the car took off. The big hospital was in the bottom end of New Pretty Town. It was where everyone went for serious operations. Littlies, uglies, even late pretties from way out in Crumblyville, coming in for life extension treatments. The river was sparkling under a cloudless sky, and Tally allowed herself to be swept away by the beauty of New Pretty Town. Even without the nighttime lights and fireworks, the city's surfaces shone with glass and metal, the unlikely spindles of party towers casting thin shadows across the island. It was so much more vibrant than the rusty ruins, Tally suddenly saw. Not as dark and mysterious, perhaps, but more alive. It was time to stop sulking about Shay. Life was going to be one big party from now on, full of beautiful people. Like Tally Youngblood. The hover car descended onto one of the red X's on the hospital roof, and Tally's driver escorted her inside, taking her to a waiting room. An orderly looked up Tally's name, flashed her eye again, and told her to wait. "You'll be okay?" the driver asked. She looked up into his clear, soft eyes, wanting him to stay. But asking him to wait with her didn't seem very mature. "No. I'm fine. Thanks." He smiled and went away. No one else was in the waiting room. Tally settled back and counted the tiles on the ceiling. As she waited, the conversations with Shay in her head came back again. But they weren't so troubling here. It was too late for second thoughts now. Tally wished there was a window to look out onto New Pretty Town. She was so close now. She imagined tomorrow night, her first night pretty, dressed in new and wonderful clothes, her dorm uniforms all shoved down the recycler, looking out from the top of the highest party tower she could find. She would watch as Lights Out fell across the river, bedtime for Uglyville, and know that she still had all night with Paris and her new friends, all the beautiful people she would meet. She sighed. 16 years. Finally. Nothing happened for a long hour. Tally drummed her fingers, wondering if they always kept uglies waiting this long. Then the man came. He looked strange, unlike any pretty Tally had ever seen. He was definitely of middle age, but whoever had done his operation had botched it. He was beautiful, without a doubt, but it was a terrible beauty. Instead of wise and confident, the man looked cold, commanding, intimidating, like some regal animal of prey. When he walked up, Tally started to ask what was going on, but a glance from him silenced her. She had never met an adult who affected her this way. She always felt respect when face to face with a middle or late pretty. But in the presence of this cruelly beautiful man, respect was saturated with fear. The man said, "There's a problem with your operation. Come with me." She went. Special circumstances. This hover car was larger, but not as comfortable. The trip was much less pleasant than Tally's first ride that day. The strange-looking man flew with an aggressive impatience, dropping like a rock to cut between flight lanes, banking as steeply as a hoverboard with every turn. Tally had never been airsick before, but now she clutched the seat restraints, her knuckles white and eyes fixed on the solid ground below. She caught one last glimpse of New Prettytown receding behind them. They headed downriver, across Uglyville, over the greenbelt and farther out to the transport ring, where the factories stuck their heads above ground. Beside a huge, misshapen hill, the car descended into a complex of rectangular buildings, as squat as ugly dorms, and painted the color of dried grass. They landed with a painful bump, and the man led her into one of the buildings, and down into a murk of yellow-brown hallways. Tally had never seen so much space painted in such putrid colors, as if the building were designed to make its occupants vaguely nauseated. There were more people like the man. They were all dressed in formals, raw silks in black and gray, and their faces had the same cold, hawkish look. Both the men and women were taller than pretty standard and more powerfully built, their eyes as pale as an ugly's. There were a few normal people as well, but they faded into insignificance next to the predatory forms moving gracefully through the halls. Tally wondered if this was some place where people were taken when their operations went wrong, when beauty turned cruel. Then why was she here? She hadn't even had the operation yet. Tally swallowed. What if these terrible pretties had been made this way intentionally? When they had measured her yesterday, had they determined that she would never fit the vulnerable, doe-eyed pretty mold? Maybe she'd already been chosen to be remade for this strange, other world. The man stopped outside a metal door, and Tally halted behind him. She felt like a littlie again, jerked along by a minder or an invisible string. All her ugly senior's confidence had evaporated the moment she'd seen him back at the hospital. 4 years of tricks and independence, gone. The door flashed his eye and opened, and he pointed for her to go in. Tally realized he hadn't said a word since collecting her at the hospital. She took a deep breath, which made the paralyzed muscles in her chest flinch with pain, and managed to croak, "Say please." "Inside," was his answer. Tally smiled, silently declaring a small victory that she had made him speak again. But she did as she was told. "I'm Dr. Cable." "Tally Youngblood." Dr. Cable smiled. "Oh, I know who you are."
The woman was a cruel pretty. Her nose was aquiline, her teeth sharp, her eyes a non-reflective gray. Her voice had the same slow, neutral cadence as a bedtime book, but it hardly made Tally sleepy. An edge was hidden in the voice, like a piece of metal slowly marking glass.
"You have a problem, Tally."
I had kind of guessed that. It was strange, not knowing the woman's first name.
"Dr. Cable will do."
Tally blinked. She'd never called anyone by their last name in her life.
"Okay, Dr. Cable."
She cleared her throat and managed to say more in a dry voice.
"My problem right now is that I don't know what's going on. So, why don't you tell me?"
"What do you think's going on, Tally?" Tally closed her eyes, taking a rest from the sharp angles of the woman's face.
"Well, that bungee jacket was a spare, you know, and we did put it back on the recharge pile."
"This isn't about some ugly trick." She sighed and opened her eyes.
"No, I didn't think so."
"This is about a friend of yours, someone missing." Of course. Shay's disappearing trick had gone too far, leaving Tally to explain.
"I don't know where she is."
Dr. Cable smiled. Only her top teeth showed when she did.
"But you know something."
"Who are you, anyway?" Tally blurted. "Where am I?"
"I'm Dr. Cable," the woman said. "And this is Special Circumstances."
First, Dr. Cable asked her a lot of questions. "You didn't know Shay Long, did you?"
"No, just this summer. We were in different dorms."
"And you didn't know any of her friends?"
"No, they were all older than her. They'd already turned."
"Like your friend Paris."
Tally swallowed. How much did this woman know about her?
"Yeah, like Paris and me. But Shay's friends didn't wind up pretty, did they?"
Tally took a slow breath, remembering her promise to Shay. She didn't want to lie, though. Dr. Cable would know if she did. Tally was sure. She was in enough trouble already.
"Why wouldn't they?"
"Did she tell you about her friends?"
"We didn't talk about stuff like that. We just hung out, because it hurt being alone. We were just into playing tricks."
"Did you know she'd been in a gang?"
Tally looked up into Dr. Cable's eyes. They were almost as big as a normal pretty's, but they angled upward, like a wolf's.
"A gang? How do you mean?"
"Tally, did you and Shay ever go to the Rusty Ruins?"
"Everyone does."
"But did you ever sneak out to the ruins?"
"Yeah, a lot of people do."
"Did you ever meet anyone there?"
Tally bit her lip.
"What's Special Circumstances?"
"Tally."
The edge in her voice was suddenly sharp as a razor blade.
"If you tell me what Special Circumstances is, I'll answer you."
Dr. Cable sat back. She folded her hands and nodded.
"This city is a paradise, Tally. It feeds you, educates you, keeps you safe. It makes you pretty."
Tally couldn't help looking up hopefully at this.
"And our city can stand a great deal of freedom, Tally. It gives youngsters room to play tricks, to develop their creativity and independence. But occasionally, bad things come from outside the city."
Dr. Cable narrowed her eyes, her face becoming even more like a predator's. "We exist in equilibrium with our environment, Tally. Purifying the water that we put back in the river, recycling the biomass, and using only power drawn from our solar footprint. But sometimes, we can't purify what we take in from the outside. Sometimes there are threats from the environment that must be faced."
She smiled.
"Sometimes there are special circumstances."
"So, you guys are like minders, but for the whole city?"
Dr. Cable nodded. Other cities sometimes pose a challenge, and sometimes those few people who live outside the cities can make trouble.
Tally's eyes widened. Outside the cities? Shay had been telling the truth. Places like the smoke really existed.
It's your turn to answer my question, Tally. Did you ever meet anyone in the ruins? Someone not from this city? Not from any city?
Tally grinned.
No, I never did.
Dr. Cable frowned, her eyes darting downward for a second, checking something. When they returned to Tally, they had grown even colder.
Tally smiled again, certain now that Dr. Cable knew she was telling the truth.
The room must be reading her heartbeat, her sweat, her pupil dilation. But Tally couldn't tell what she didn't know.
The razor blade slid back into the woman's voice.
Don't play games with me, Tally. Your friend Shay will never thank you for it, because you'll never see her again.
The thrill of her small victory disappeared, and Tally felt her smile fade.
6 of her friends disappeared, Tally, all at once. None of them has ever been found. Another 2 who were meant to join them chose not to throw their lives away, however, and we discovered a little about what had happened to the others.
They didn't run away on their own. They were tempted by someone from outside. Someone who wanted to steal our cleverest little uglies. We realized that this was a special circumstance.
One word sent ice down Tally's spine. Had Shay really been stolen? What did Shay or any ugly really know about the smoke?
We've been watching Shay since then, hoping she might lead us to her friends.
So why didn't you, Tally blurted out, you know, stop her?
Because of you, Tally.
Me?
Dr. Cable's voice softened.
We thought she had made a friend, a reason to stay here in the city. We thought she'd be okay.
Tally could only close her eyes and shake her head.
But then Shay disappeared, Dr. Cable continued. She turned out to be trickier than her friends. You taught her well.
I did? Tally cried. I don't know any more tricks than most uglies.
You underestimate yourself, Dr. Cable said.
Tally turned away from the vulpine eyes, shut out the razor blade voice. This was not her fault. She had decided to stay here in the city, after all. She wanted to become pretty. She even tried to convince Shay, but failed.
It's not my fault.
Help us, Tally.
Help you what?
Find her. Find them all.
She took a deep breath.
What if they don't want to be found?
What if they do? What if they were lied to?
Tally tried to remember Shay's face that last night. How hopeful she had been. She'd wanted to leave the city as much as Tally wanted to be pretty. However stupid the choice seemed, Shay had made it with her eyes open and had respected Tally's choice to stay.
Tally looked up at Dr. Cable's cruel beauty, at the puke yellow-brown of the walls. She remembered all the tricks special circumstances had played on her today, how they'd kept her waiting for an hour in the hospital. Waiting and thinking she would soon be pretty. The brutal flight here. And all the cruel faces in the halls. And then she decided,
I can't help you, Tally said. I made a promise.
Dr. Cable bared her teeth. This time it wasn't even a mockery of a smile. The woman became nothing but a monster. Vengeful and inhuman.
Then I'll make you a promise too. Tally, Youngblood, until you do help us, to the very best of your ability, you will never be pretty.
Dr. Cable turned away.
You can die ugly for all I care.
The door opened. The scary man was outside, where he'd been waiting all along. Ugly for life. They must have forewarned the Minders about her return. All the other uglies were gone, off on some unscheduled school trip. But they hadn't found out in time to save her stuff. When Tally reached her old room, she saw that everything had been recycled. Clothes, bedding, furniture, the pictures on the wall screen, it had all been reverted back to generic ugly. It even looked as if somebody else had been briefly moved in, then out again, leaving a strange drink can in the fridge. Tally sat down on the bed, too stunned to cry. She knew she would start bawling soon, probably losing it at the worst possible time and place. Now that the encounter with Dr. Cable was over, her anger and defiance were fading, and there was nothing left to sustain her. Her stuff was gone. Her future was gone. Only the view out of the window remained. She sat and stared, having to remind herself every few minutes that it had all really happened. The cruel pretties, the strange buildings on the edge of town, the terrible ultimatum from Dr. Cable. Tally felt as if some wild trick had gone horribly wrong. A weird and horrible new reality had opened up, devouring the world she knew and understood. All she had left was the small duffel bag she'd packed for the hospital. She couldn't even remember carrying it all the way back here. Tally pulled out a few clothes, which she'd shoved in at random, and found Shay's note. She read it, looking for clues. Take the coaster straight past the gap, until you find one that's long and flat. Cold is the sea, and watch for breaks. At the second, make the worst mistake. 4 days later, take the side you despise, and look in the flowers for firebug eyes. Once they're found, enjoy the flight, then wait on the bald head until it's light. Hardly any of it made sense to her, only bits and pieces. Shay had obviously meant to hide the meaning from anyone else reading it, using references only the two of them would understand. Her paranoia made a lot more sense now. Having met Dr. Cable, Tally could see why David wanted to keep his city, or camp, or whatever it was, a secret. As Tally held the note, she realized that it was what Dr. Cable had wanted. The woman had been sitting across the room from the letter the whole time, but they'd never bothered to search her. That meant Tally had kept Shay's secret, and that she still had something to bargain with. It also meant that special circumstances could make mistakes. Tally saw the other uglies come back in before lunchtime. As they filed off the school transport, all of them craned their necks to look up at her window. A few pointed before she ducked back into the shadows. Minutes later, Tally could hear the kids in the hall outside, growing silent as they passed her door. A few even giggled, as new uglies always did when they tried to keep quiet. Were they laughing at her? Her rumbling stomach reminded Tally that she hadn't eaten breakfast or dinner the night before. You weren't supposed to have food or water for 16 hours before the operation. She was starving. But she stayed in her room until lunch was over. She couldn't face a cafeteria full of uglies watching her every move, wondering what she had done to deserve her still ugly face. When she couldn't stand her hunger anymore, Tally stole upstairs to the roof deck, where they put out leftovers for whoever wanted them. A few uglies saw her in the hall. They clammed up and stood aside as Tally passed, as if she were contagious. What had the Minders told them, Tally wondered? That she'd pulled one too many tricks? That she was inoperable? An ugly for life? Or just that she was a special circumstance? Everywhere she went, eyes looked away, but it was the most visible she'd ever felt. A plate was set out for her on the roof deck, sealed in plastic wrap, her name stuck to it. Someone had noticed that she hadn't eaten, and of course, everyone would realize that she was in hiding. The sight of the plate of food, wilted and solitary, made the suppressed tears well up in her eyes. Tally's throat burned as if she'd swallowed something sharp, and it was all she could do to get back to her room before she burst into loud, jagged sobs. When she got there, Tally found that she hadn't forgotten to bring the plate. She ate while she cried, tasting the salt of her tears in every bite. Her parents came by about an hour later. Ellie swept in first, gathering Tally into a hug that emptied her lungs and lifted her feet off the ground. "Tally, my poor baby."
"Now, don't injure the girl, Ellie. She's had a tough day." Even without oxygen, it felt good inside the crushing embrace. Ellie always smelled just right, like a mom, and Tally always felt like a littlie in her arms. Released after what was probably a solid minute, but still too soon, Tally stepped back, hoping that she wouldn't cry again. She looked at her parents, sheepishly, wondering what they must be thinking. She felt like a total failure.
"I didn't know you guys were coming."
"Of course we came," Ellie said. Sol shook his head. "I've never heard of anything like this happening. It's ridiculous. And we'll get to the bottom of it, don't you worry."
Tally felt a weight lift from her shoulders. Finally, there was someone else on her side. Her father's middle pretty eyes twinkled with calm certainty. There was no question that he would sort everything out.
"What did they tell you?" Tally asked. Sol gestured, and Tally sat down on the bed. Ellie settled beside her while he paced back and forth across the small room.
"Well, they told us about this Shay girl. Sounds like she's a lot of trouble."
"Sol," Ellie interrupted, "the poor girl's missing."
"Sounds like she wants to be missing."
Her mother pursed her lips in silence.
"It's not her fault, Sol," Tally said. "She just didn't want to turn pretty."
"So she's an independent thinker. Fine. But she should have had better sense than to drag someone else down with her."
"She didn't drag me anywhere. I'm right here."
Tally looked out of the window at the familiar view of New Pretty Town. "Where I'll be forever, apparently."
"Now, now," Ellie said. "They said that once you've helped them find this Shay girl, everything should go ahead as normal."
"It won't make any difference if the operation happens a few days late. It'll be a great story when you're old," Sol chuckled.
Tally bit her lip.
"I don't think I can help them."
"Well, just do your best," Ellie said.
"But I can't. I mean, I promised Shay that I wouldn't tell anyone her plans."
They were silent for a moment. Sol sat down, taking one of her hands in his. They felt so warm and strong, almost as wrinkled as a crumbly's from days spent working in his woodshop. Tally realized that she hadn't visited her parents since the week of summer break, when she'd mostly been anxious to get back to hanging out with Shay full time. But it was good to see them now.
"Tally, we all make promises when we're little. That's part of being an ugly. Everything's exciting and intense and important. But you have to grow out of it. After all, you don't owe this girl anything. She's done nothing but cause you trouble."
Ellie took her other hand. "And you'll only be helping her, Tally. Who knows where she is now and what's happening to her? I'm surprised you let her run off like that. Don't you know how dangerous it is out there?" Tally found herself nodding. Looking into Sol and Ellie's faces, everything seemed so clear. Maybe cooperating with Dr. Cable would really be helping Shay, and would set things back on course for herself. But the thought of Dr. Cable made her wince. "You should have seen these people, the ones investigating Shay. They look like..."
Sol laughed. "I guess it would be a bit of a shock at your age, Tally. But of course, we old folks know all about special circumstances. They may be tough, but they're just doing their jobs, you know? It's a tough world out there."
Tally sighed. Maybe her reluctance was just because the cruel pretties had scared her so much.
"Have you ever met them? I couldn't believe the way they looked."
Ellie furrowed her brow.
"Well, I can't say I've actually met one."
Sol frowned, then broke into a laugh. "Well, you wouldn't want to meet one, Ellie. And Tally, if you do the right thing now, you probably won't ever meet one again. That sort of business is something we can all do without.
Tally looked at her father, and for a moment she saw something other than wisdom and confidence in his expression.
It was almost too easy the way Sol laughed off special circumstances, dismissing everything that went on outside the city. For the first time in her life, Tally found herself listening to a middle pretty without being completely reassured, a realization that made her dizzy. And she couldn't shake the thought that Sol knew nothing about the outside world Shay had fled to. Maybe most people just didn't want to know. Tally had been taught all about the Rusties and early history, but at school, they never said a single thing about people living outside the cities right now. People like David. Until she'd met Shay, Tally had never thought about it either. But she couldn't dismiss the whole thing the way her father had. And she had made Shay a solemn promise. Even if she was just an ugly, a promise was a promise. "Guys, I'm going to have to think about this." For a moment, an awkward silence filled the room. She'd said something they hadn't expected. Then Ellie laughed and patted her hand. "Well, of course you do, Tally." Sol nodded, back in command. "We know you'll do the right thing." "Sure, but in the meantime," Tally said, "maybe I could come home with you?" Her parents shared another look of surprise. "I mean, it's really weird being here now. Everyone knows that I'm not scheduled for classes anymore, so it would just be like coming home for autumn break, but a little early." Sol recovered first and patted her shoulder. "Now, Tally, don't you think it would be even stranger for you out in Crumblyville? I mean, there's no kids out there this time of year." "You're much better off here with the other children, darling," Ellie added. "You're only a few months older than some of them, and goodness, we don't have your room ready at all." "I don't care. Nothing could be worse than this," Tally said. "Oh, just order up some more clothes and get that wall screen back the way you want it," Sol said.
"I didn't mean the room."
"In any case," Ellie interrupted, "why make a fuss? This'll all be over in no time. Just have a nice chat with special circumstances, tell them everything, and you'll be headed to where you really want to be." They all looked out of the window at the towers of New Pretty Town.
"I guess so."
"Sweetheart," Ellie said, patting her leg, "what other choice do you have?" Paris. During the daytime, she hid in her room. Going anywhere else was pure torture. The uglies in her own dorm treated her like a walking disease, and anyone else who recognized her sooner or later asked, "Why aren't you pretty yet?" It was strange. She'd been an ugly for 4 years, but a few extra days had brought home to her exactly what the word really meant. Tally peered into her mirror all day, noting every flaw, every deformity. Her thin lips pursed with unhappiness. Her hair grew even frizzier because she kept running her hands through it in frustration. A trio of zits exploded across her forehead, as if marking the days since her 16th birthday. Her watery, too small eyes glared back at her, full of anger. Only at night could she escape from the tiny room, the nervous stares, her own ugly face. She fooled the minders and climbed out as usual, but she didn't feel much like any real tricks. There was no one to visit, no one to play a prank on, and the idea of crossing the river was too painful to consider. She had gotten a new hoverboard and tricked it up like Shay had taught her, so at least she could fly at night. But flying didn't feel the same. She was alone. It was getting cold at night, and no matter how fast she flew, Tally was trapped, and she knew it. The fourth night in ugly exile, she took her board up into the Greenbelt, staying at the edge of town. She whipped it back and forth past the dark columns of tree trunks, shooting through them at top speed, so fast that her hands and face collected dozens of scratches from the branches blurring by. After a few hours, Flying had worn away some of her anguish. Tally had a happy realization. This was the best she'd ever ridden. She was almost as good as Shay now. Never once did the board dump her for getting too close to a tree, and her shoes held on to its grippy surface like they were glued there. She worked up a sweat, even in the autumn chill, riding until her legs were tired, her ankles aching, her arms sore from being spread out like wings gliding her through the dark forest. If she rode this hard all night, Tally thought, maybe tomorrow she could sleep the hideous daylight away. She flew until exhaustion forced her home. When she crawled back into her dorm room at dawn, someone was waiting there.
Paris!
His features burst into a radiant smile, big eyes flashing beautifully in the early light. But when he looked closer, his expression changed. What happened to your face, Squint? Tally blinked.
Haven't you heard? They didn't do the...
Not that. Paris reached up and touched her cheek, which smarted under his fingertips. You look like you've been juggling cats all night.
Oh, yeah.
Tally ran her fingers through her hair and rummaged through a drawer. She pulled a med spray out, closed her eyes, and squirted herself in the face.
Ow!
She yelped in the few seconds before the anesthetic kicked in. She sprayed her scratched hands as well. Just a little midnight hoverboarding. A little past midnight, don't you think? Out the window, the sun was just beginning to turn the towers of New Pretty Town pink. Cat vomit pink. She looked at Paris, exhausted and confused. How long have you been here? He shifted uncomfortably in her window chair. Long enough. Sorry, I didn't know you were coming. He raised his eyebrows in beautiful anguish. Of course I came. The moment I figured out where you were, I came. Tally turned away, unlacing her grippy shoes as she collected herself. She'd felt so abandoned since her birthday, it had never occurred to her that Paris would want to see her, especially not here in Uglyville. But here he was, worried, anxious, lovely. It's good to see you, she said, feeling tears come into her eyes. They were red and puffy most of the time these days. He beamed up at her. You too. The thought of what she must look like was too much. Tally collapsed onto the bed, covering her face with her hands and sobbing. Paris sat next to her and held her for a while as she cried, then wiped her nose and sat her up. Look at you, Tally Youngblood. She shook her head. Please don't. You're an absolute mess. Paris found a brush and ran it through her hair. She couldn't meet his eyes and stared at the floor. So, do you always go hoverboarding in a blender? She shook her head, lightly touching the scratches on her face. Just tree branches, at high speed. Oh, so getting yourself killed is your next brilliant trick. I guess that would just about top your current one. My current what? Paris rolled his eyes. This whole trick where you haven't turned pretty yet. Very mysterious. Yeah, some trick. When did you get modest, Squint? All my friends are fascinated. She turned her puffy eyes to her friend, trying to figure out if he was kidding. I mean, I already told everyone about you after that fire alarm thing, but they're really dying to meet you now, he continued. There's even a rumor that special circumstances is involved. Tally blinked. Paris was serious. Well, that's true, she said. They're the reason I'm still ugly. Paris's big eyes widened even more. Really? That is so bubbly. She sat up and frowned. Did everyone know about them but me? Well, I had no idea what anyone was talking about. Apparently, specials are like gremlins. You blame them when anything weird happens. Some people think they're totally bogus, and no one I know has actually seen a special. Tally sighed. Just my luck, I guess.
So they're real?
Paris lowered his voice to a whisper. Do they really look different? You know,